I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. For me to impose that judgment on everyone else is inappropriate in a pluralistic society.
I can do my part doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline and pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Barack Obama was a community organizer like Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all.
Yesterday, the National Organization for Women endorsed Senator Barack Obama and his running mate for president. Now, this is a rather rare occurrence because it's the general election, but many people found no surprise there. What's the real issue? This organization that claims to speak for, if not a majority, perhaps a plurality of American women, claims to have women's best interests in mind and talks an awful lot about abortion rights. What's behind the endorsement of National Organization for Women for Senator Barack Obama? Jennifer Roback Morris joins us here for the first 10 minutes of the program to answer that question and to respond some comments from the National Organization for Women's president, Kim Gandy. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking about radical Islam with Brigitte Gabriel. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Wednesday. It's September the 17th. You can give us a call anytime in the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Jennifer Roback Morris is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale University and George Mason University, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Some women might say that equal pay for equal work is just as big an issue for women as abortion. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think equal pay for equal work is an important issue, but that has largely been won. That's the problem. It doesn't work as a salient political issue anymore because that's already the law of the land. And inequalities in income between men and women now have much more to do with women's lifestyle choices than they have to do with out-and-out discrimination of the kind that has really been banned for 30 or 40 years now.
Were you surprised at all by the National Organization for Women's endorsement of Senator Barack Obama?
Oh, not at all. Obviously, they were going to endorse the most pro-abortion candidate that they could find. And the fact that the Republican ticket has a woman on the ticket makes no difference to them whatsoever. They are interested in abortion rights all the time. And the fact that the whole pro-life movement is dominated by women has never swayed them in the slightest. You know, they've never even not acknowledged that or noticed that fact. So, no, unfortunately, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest, Todd.
I want your response to some of the things that NOW's President Kim Gandy had said in connection with NOW's endorsement of Senator Obama and his running mate. Here's Gandy explaining why NOW endorsed Senator Obama.
Senator Obama has a tremendous record of support for women's rights, from the Paycheck Fairness Act, equal pay for women, which John McCain, by the way, opposed, his support and sponsorship of legislation to increase work-family balance for women, something that's very critical. But the addition of Sarah Palin gave us a renewed sense of urgency because she's being portrayed as a supporter of women's rights. She's being portrayed as a feminist when, in fact, her positions on so many of the issues really are anathema to ours.
Jennifer, your response and reaction?
Well, the word she didn't say, of course, is abortion. You can tell that the National Organization for Women is no longer even proud of its signature issue when, in a statement like that, they avoid stating the very obvious fact that the problem with Sarah Palin, from their point of view, is that she supports the rights of children to be born, and she believes that the true women's movement is one in which women are not asked to kill small children in order to succeed economically. And that Kim Gandy and her ilk have never understood that their brand of feminism simply is not appealing to large, large numbers of women. And so, of course, they have to distance themselves from that issue, even though it's quite obvious to anybody who's paying the slightest bit of attention that the issue that is driving them is abortion rights.
Here's Kim Gandy again. She does mention abortion in this cut, but she lists it among the more radical and extreme views of Governor Sarah Palin.
Well, there's no question that some women, a lot of women, think that it's a great thing for a woman to be running for vice president, but they are completely dismayed when they find out her positions. The idea that she opposes abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, those kinds of positions are so completely out of step with American women that once women find out about those positions, they get a little less excited at the idea that there's a woman running.
How do you respond, Jen?
Well, Kim Gandy's talking about the women that she knows. You know, the women that she knows are women who are deeply committed to abortion rights, in part because they cannot imagine what their own lives would be like in a world in which sex without a live baby resulting was not a federally sponsored entitlement. That's really what the issue is. The issue isn't rape and incest. That's always the red herring that comes out. The fact of the matter is that 95% of Americans disapprove of at least 90% of abortions that are actually performed. You know, there just aren't that many abortions that are performed on rape and incest victims. The vast majority of them are elective and have no medical significance either. So you know, Kim Gandy, as usual, is trying to hide from the real issue. The real issue is, what do you think is the place of human sexuality and human life? And now and their allies have worked very hard to create a world in which sex is viewed as essentially a sterile activity, and that you need to, in fact, sterilize yourself in order to get along economically. I mean, all the people who function in the inside the Beltway and who are part of the New York elite, all of those kind of people basically postpone their fertility until they're practically menopausal. That's the price they have to pay in order to have the kind of status and power that they're seeking. They don't realize that most women don't have those as priorities. There are just too many women who really want to get married and have kids while their bodies are still cooperating with them in that. And so the whole feminist agenda, to my mind, is a dinosaur agenda. I mean, they are the ones that are completely out of touch with the needs and desires of the vast majority of women in America, and which is why I founded the Ruth Institute, because the Ruth Institute is really trying to help women and men alike have opportunities for cooperation, for collaboration over the course of a lifetime that make it possible for women to have their children and have meaningful work, not necessarily all at the same time. And that kind of approach requires that you cooperate and collaborate with your husband, which obviously Sarah Palin is doing, and the feminists that now just can't understand that.
Here's one final cut from Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women, making the case that Governor Palin has high negative ratings.
We know the most recent surveys I've seen show that only 42% of women view Palin favorably. I don't think that that's a tremendously high favorable rating. And of course, it also depends on which women you're talking to. Among single women, never married, divorced, widowed, her favorable rating is extremely low. It's down to 32%. You know, sure, the NOW membership runs the whole gamut, and there definitely have been people who've written in support of Palin. There are people who think that we should stay out of the race altogether, because actually we very, very rarely endorse in a general election. This is almost unprecedented. But the overwhelming feedback we got from members and leaders is that we should endorse and support Obama and Biden because they've stood by women.
Jen, what do you make of the whole issue of Sarah Palin's ratings with women?
You know, I haven't seen those polls, but I do know one thing, and that is that the gender gap is almost completely a marriage gap. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all that unmarried women and never married women and single and divorced women have a very different view of her than married women do. And in fact, that's the whole Republican-Democratic split among the genders, is between whether the women are married or not married. Married women tend to vote Republican. Unmarried women tend to vote Democratic. So that part doesn't surprise me, even though I don't know what her actual numbers are. But look at what she's saying. She's saying it's almost unprecedented for us to endorse a candidate, and they're coming out and endorsing the opponent of the first credible woman vice presidential candidate. I mean, McCain has an excellent chance of winning, far better than Geraldine Ferraro ever had of winning. So Palin has a very good chance of being in the White House, of being the vice president, and the National Organization for Women is wringing their hands because she's not their kind of woman. Well, I think if there was ever any doubt that this is not really a women's organization, that this put it all completely to rest. The thing people, your listeners, need to realize is just how much the National Organization for Women is a leftist organization that has always been using women as a front to promote the kind of agenda that has to do with replacing the private sector with the public sector in a whole variety of areas. And busting up the family is absolutely essential to imposing a large government kind of world upon the whole society. So they put a lot of effort into breaking up the union between men and women and into destabilizing our sexual relationships altogether. And so that it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. And I think women in particular need to realize just how much the hard left in this country has used the feminist agenda as a battering ram to get the kinds of things through that they would never get through without using it.
Folks, you'll find a direct link to Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Jennifer Roback Morse, thanks for being our guest.
I'm glad to do it, Todd.
Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale University and George Mason University. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. When we come back, Bridget Gabriel will be our guest. We'll talk about radical Islam. Her new book is titled They Must Be Stopped. Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the Treasury of Daily Prayer.
All I can say is prepare to be blown away. It's something I've never seen in the whole of Lutheran liturgical history. It's a complete daily office book and so much more, and it's in a single volume.
Order an advance copy of the Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover at our website, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand Audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio.